Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. This episode of The Authentic Life of KL is brought to you by Break the Silence, a nonprofit created using music as a platform to raise awareness for mental health, suicide prevention, and recovery of all kinds, offering hope and starting the hard conversations to bring communities together. Hey guys, it's Kitty, and today I have with me Gary Bender. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Stoked to be here.
Yeah, very excited. So for anybody who does not know Gary Bender, can you give us a little blurb on you and kind of who you are?
Sure. I'm a singer-songwriter, like pop punk artist out of Orange County, California. I've been in and out of bands and touring this fine country for many, many years. And I have some new songs that are going to be coming out. Well, actually, they're already out, but I've got some new songs that are going to be coming out that I'm really excited to release for everyone. So I'm just stoked to be able to talk about some underlying things that kind of goes into music with you and just have a really great chat. So thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. So what is something in this world that gives you hope? The world is pretty bleak. And unless you're looking for good things, you know, it's kind of hard to just spot them. So what's something that gives you hope or inspires you?
Honestly, it's my family, for sure. I mean, I'm sure that's such a generic cookie cutter.
Right.
Answer. But in all honesty, like, they've helped keep my head above water for so long. My dogs. I love my dogs. They're like my children. They are my children. And obviously music. Like, I would be 1,000,000% dead without the outlet to be able to write and share my feelings. Like, one of my taglines is, like, I feel like I tend to express myself better through lyrics and song than I can even when I just talk to somebody. So if this interview sucks, I apologize, because I do feel like I actually can explain myself and express myself better through music, and it's been an absolute savior for me in my life. So those are a few things that give me hope: my family, my music, my dogs.
Yeah, love it. So because I have done a lot of different interviews and I know some musicians, and I find that sometimes it is normal to communicate more so through your music than in person. I find sometimes, and unless you know them, like you and I feel like could probably chit chat, but a lot of times musicians or any kind of artist, when they get out in front of people, they're kind of like, I don't know, like, this is a little different, but behind, like, the persona or whatever you want to call it, it's much easier. Do you find that?
Yeah, in all honesty, I've always been an extroverted person. I've always kind of been that outgoing guy. But as I've gotten older, believe it or not, I actually just shared this with my father not too long ago. I feel like I've like almost like regressed a little bit and became a little bit more of like a recluse, unless I'm talking or dealing about things that I'm passionate about, such as like my music or mental health or just things that like I actually like truly care about. I've regressed a little bit. I used to be the guy that was like, hey, over here, like, let's get a party going. And it's really not like that anymore. Maybe it's just, you know, just getting older now and becoming a little bit more mature. But I think that those are kind of things that have kind of like brought me to like where I am today. Like, I feel like I am very much exactly what you said. I speak better through my music, for sure.
Sure. And I think sometimes fine tuning maybe what you put your energy into does change as you get older, whether that be you feel like you have limited time, or you just decide some things aren't as important as maybe what we think when we're younger.
Love that. Spot on.
Yeah, I love that. So is there a specific moment in your life that you were like, you know what, I'm going to do music, this is what I'm meant to do? Or did you have Or was it kind of an ongoing thing, or was it like a light switch moment?
No, there was definitely a moment, but I was always surrounded by music. So there was always records being played in my house. My dad played guitar, never really took it seriously. And I don't think that he would really consider himself a guitarist by any means, but there was always a guitar. He was always noodling around and stuff like that. So I was always surrounded by that. And then I want to say I was in sixth or seventh grade in grade school. And there was a Christmas concert, and I had already been in like band. I played like saxophone and trumpet and all those other things, but there was like this like vocal solo thing, and my music teacher really encouraged me to like try out for it. And I don't know why, but I did it, and I got the part, and that Christmas like concert, whatever the hell it was, it catapulted me into like this whole other place. I felt something I never felt before singing a Christmas song. I believe it was Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. I got like, and this is gonna sound shitty, but like I remember being like in sixth or seventh grade and hearing like an applause. And I had never gotten like admiration or appreciation for something like that, like on that level ever before that. And I think that like the dopamine just sparked up right from
Yes.
there. And, from there on, it was music.
Again,
I was,
again, again,
yeah,
again, again.
that's what it was. I
Yes.
mean, then from there, I just started bands. Like literally, a few years later, I heard Blink 182 and Green Day and all those like bands that were like your gateway bands, to like really want to do that. And from there, I just self-taught every day, playing guitar, playing bass, l learning how to sing, and it's been that ever since. Like there was never anything else that I was like, I think I should be doing this, or I'm kind of good at that. I kind of suck at a lot of shit. But music, I always felt like I sucked less
Yeah,
at.
I get that. I get that. No, I love that. Have you had what's your worst job that you've had?
Oh my gosh, I've had a few really shitty jobs. So I was oh, actually, no, this was definitely the worst one. I worked for, do you know what Stanley Steamer is?
Yes. A
Okay.
Stanley steamer, get your carpet cleaner.
You got it. Fuck
Yeah.
yeah. So this was what was really great. I want to say it was probably like 19 years old. A buddy of mine that's actually now, I mean, he's still a musician. He's actually touring. He's the drummer for a band called The Dangerous Summer. He got me a job at Stanley Steamer, and we happened to get like paired together. And I kid you not, it was just the most, we would go into people's houses, the most disgusting fucking like cat piss filled, like mold everywhere. We had to clean these disgusting houses' carpets. Thank God for weed at the time, because we would just get high and just clean these people's houses, and it made the day go by just so much better.
Because I would imagine it would, because that does sound like, man, I don't know if I want to do that. Yeah.
Fun little anecdote, and we still talk about it to this day. We never had a single complaint until like one of my last days we ever worked. We were sitting on like a porch, like waiting to get paid. And I guess this woman had called the su our supervisor and was like, "Hi, your men did a really great job, but they're currently on my porch." This is a quote, and it sticks with me since I was 19 years old. "They're currently standing on my porch, dancing around in a Smurf-like manner." And I kid you not, we don't even know what the hell that meant, because we were just like standing there. Like, unless we were really that high, we didn't know what the hell was going on. But every now and then, I'll get like a text or something like that from him, and he'll be like, "Hey, dude, heard this song, and it just had me dancing around in a Smurf-like manner."
Smurf-like
I love shit like that. It was
me. That's
awesome.
so fun. It's those moments that make those things just worth,
Little
I
bit
guess,
more
worth it.
bearable. Yeah.
Oh, worth it. I love that. So, have you had experiences in your life to where music has been your lifeline? I know a lot of times, like for me, I lost my brother, and that was like my, this is it. Music is it. I finally realized this is my language that I needed. Have you had moments like that?
Been fortunate enough to just, let me see how to put this. Not in the sense that like a catastrophic event or some kind of
Sure.
like life-altering event has happened. It's always been through me. I know, I'm very well aware, that I'm not all right in the head. I've struggled with depression and anxiety, and it's taken its toll on me my entire life. And the only times that I truly, truly ever felt like I could make it through or focus on anything was when I was like zoned in and hyper focused on creating new songs or creating new music or making a connection with somebody else that might even remotely understand what the hell I'm talking about. Because that's super, super important to me. I've gotten flack in the past of like, you're like, whether it's like publishing or other people being like, your songs are great, but like they're way too personable. You need to be more vague. You need to be more vague, like reach a wider audience. From a sales standpoint, I understand that, but I can only write myself. And like, I'd rather connect and have those moments with fewer people if it really means something to that smaller audience. And again, that's just like the artist in me, I guess. That means more to me than anything else. So that's how music has kind of like saved situations for me. It's definitely stopped me from doing some terrible things to myself, probably in the past, for sure.
No, I think that what you're saying I connect with, because even doing the podcast when I started, I was like, I just want to do that connection between music and mental health and like living authentically and how it helps people. And I've had so many people say to me, well, if you would just not talk about mental health and just talk about music and ask them about like the new song coming out, then you'd have way more people. And I've even had some management companies and things like that say that to me. Like, we do it, but the artists don't want to talk about mental health. And I'm like, that's okay, because they're not for me. But for me, I would feel like I was going against everything that my heart desires if I were to go that way. And so I just continue doing, and it's been great. It's been amazing. But I appreciate you saying those things, because it is, there's that line where you have to decide as a human, not even just an artist, but which way do you go? So I love that.
Likewise, and I was applauding you because I think that it takes a very strong person and somebody with a lot of conviction to kind of just do what they feel is best for them. And I love that. And there's that term selling out. Nobody really sells out. It's to each their own. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just I feel most comfortable doing what I'm doing, and that might not be the same for other people, That's all.
And I think that there's definitely like I appreciate like the party music, love party music, where I love all different kinds of music. I think that the people who do the party music and things like that, I think that that still helps people in so many different ways. I just think that, like, for me, I know that I'm here on this planet to help others feel seen, and I find that there is value in that, and I'm good with that. I'm good with just the party music too, but this happens to be my passion. So.
Well, good for you. That's awesome. I love that.
How do you think that you have personally evolved, and personally, and then as a musician since you started?
I've always taken, so it's really strange whether or not like I was ever like in a band or I was doing my solo stuff or et cetera. I always took it 1 million percent seriously. It was never just like a hobby. It was never like, oh, let's just go out on the weekends and play a couple of shows. So I've always kind of been like the driving force and the dad behind everything. To me, it wasn't just like a side gig thing. It was the thing that I wanted to be full time. So I feel like in a way that's how it's never really changed. The only thing that I can say now is like I'm at a place right now, like where I remember being younger and I was just trying to like write like these like hit songs, like these like radio friendly bubblegum songs. And trust me, that's my thing. I love a good melody. I love a good hook. Like you can hear it probably in my cheesy songs alone. But like I've steered away from that, and I've just exactly what we were just talking about. I've just started writing a little bit more true to me, and I'm my own worst critic. I mean, it comes with mental health. Like, I hate 99.9% of everything that I write. So for me, it's just like now I want to write songs and be proud of the product that I put out, the art that I put out. If I can personally do that and be like, all right, this is good enough for the world, that's where I feel like I've evolved. It doesn't matter if it's going to be well received by millions and millions of people. I want it to be. I would love that. I would
Of
absolutely
course,
love
of
that.
course.
But unfortunately, there's not going to be as many people as fucked up as me. So
Listen, there's a lot of mental health. There really
But
is the struggle. So I think that your writing and everything about what you're writing is really, well, I think the lyrics are infectious, right? I think that they're easy to remember.
thank you.
And the fact that you're writing about it shows that, hey, he struggles with it, and then that means it's okay for me to struggle. And that's the whole point. And I think there's so much mental health that's out there that the more that we talk about it, the more people will realize like you're actually normal if you have this.
I still don't understand how it's so taboo, especially in like the society and the world that we live in now. Like, let's face it, we're all overworked, overstressed, like just beaten bloody to the pulp. And like they like every job, every boss, everybody just wants to squeeze more blood out of the stone. And it was never like that generations and generations ago. Like, we're all just trying to make ends meet now and just try to get through the day. And it sounds so depressing. And that sucks because I know that I talk a lot about mental health, but I don't want all my songs to just be like fucking Debbie Downer. And it's really funny. Just yesterday, so cool segue, I got a DM from somebody and was like, it was from somebody that I knew from when I was like my freshman year in college. And they were like, Gary, I'm gonna need you to start writing happy songs. Like, you're living in Orange County, Southern California, one of the most beautiful places in the world. It looks like you have healthy relationships, you have a beautiful wife, and you've got these healthy dogs, and you're doing music, you're doing what you've always loved. I'm gonna need you to start writing some happy songs. And it was just funny because it's like, to me, my songs still, to me, are cathartic and they feel happy, even if they don't come off that way. So I want to let everybody know I'm good. I mean, I'm not always happy. But I think I want to focus on writing songs that sound happy that talk about serious shit, if that makes any sense. That's my ultimate thing.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. And I do want to talk about two of the songs. And I actively, right this moment, have Keep Breathing. So we'll do that one first. I have that just in my mind because I heard it earlier today. And can you talk to me about the Keep Breathing song? I know what Keep Breathing means, but do you have any other input on the behind the story?
The very first line of that song I wrote after a therapy session, actually. The first line of that song is, "My mind's an overflowing cup of nothing is ever good enough." And it was just my therapist kind of explaining to me because I suffer from like really bad like anxiety, and like he kind of explained it to me. It's like your level of like what you can take fills up in a cup to like a brim. And unfortunately for me, my emotions are always like on the surface, and I feel everything at like an ex a heightened level. My happiness through the roof, my sadness through the roof, my depression through the roof. So he was kind of explaining that like once your cup starts to overflow, that's when you kind of spiral and you kind of go into like these like weird thoughts and things like that. And from that's where the song just kind of sprouted from. Honestly, it was just I was watching and not watching. I was listening to like a lot of like positive affirmations in the morning, and everything was always like keep breathing, do this, do that. And I just kind of took between like my therapy sessions and that, and I was like, I really want other people to know that like if you're having these episodes, if you're struggling with anxiety, depression, or suicidal thoughts, that a simple thing as simple as just taking a breath, breathing it out, and just trying to reset yourself might be all you need to do. And at the light and at the basis of everything, it's your lifeline, breathing. It's like what keeps you alive. So my goal is I want to write like I'm a 2000s pop punk kid. I wanted to write something with some powerful like gang vocals that people could just scream if they really needed to, if or if I just heard them in a crowd. Like, just keep breathing. Like, that's and I thought that it was going to be like I wanted it to be a very like empowering message and a song, like an anthem for people that might be struggling with those things.
Yeah, no, I think that it definitely can be that. I teach like on social media and things like that, and I teach a lot about mental health and just helping people like be okay, be enough right where they're at. And I see so much mental health. I struggle with anxiety myself, so I feel that. And like the whole like self-sabotage thing, like what are you doing? Like I think the first 20 episodes I did of this, not knowing what I was doing, was threw up before each one just because I was like, I don't know what to do. So I love the fact that it is the breathing, because that is sometimes the only thing that you have that you can feel, and it's in it's you're in control of, right? In a world where we're not in control of a lot, and we wake up to shit storms every day, like the breathing we have right now, so we can control that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I love that so much. Now, talk to me about Worry About Me.
So, Worry About Me was another song kind of about where I was personally, like how I felt. I was perceived in a lot of like my relationships. I always felt like I was always the problem. Like people had to worry about me because like I was either having mood swings or I was having like I was depressed or I was sad, and I always kind of felt like in my own head, and I probably just made all of this up, but in my head I believed it all, that I was the reason why other people didn't succeed or they weren't happy. And the song is pretty much just it's a story. It's not really true, but it's about just somebody that like feels like, you'll be better off without me. I'm gonna do this sacrificial thing. I'm going to leave. It's gonna suck and hurt at first. And it might seem selfish, but just know that I'm doing this because I don't want to drag you down with my fucking bullshit. That's essentially, and it was, that's by far, I joke around, I made a video. I was like, when the goofy pop punk kid like writes like a gut-wrenching song, it really was the most personal song that I've probably ever released and put out there. It just stemmed from like a lot of feelings of like guilt and just not wanting to hurt the people that have put so much love and energy and emphasis into me. I just felt like I was just doing them a disservice being in their lives. So in the song, the best thing to do is to just walk away, and don't worry, you're not gonna have to worry about me anymore because I'm fucked up. And that's essentially, it's pretty self-explanatory. I don't try to like mask my lyrics very much. I like to be as
Yeah.
straightforward as fucking
No,
possible.
it's,
So
yeah.
if you read the lyrics along with the song, it's like, okay, that's exactly what the song is
Yeah.
about.
Yeah. And I think those of us that do have anxiety or struggle with depression and things like that, I think so many of us feel like we're too much. We're too much. And I think that that's one of the hardest things to come to terms with, is that a lot of times it is in our own head. Like, yes, sometimes people are like, for God's sake, shut up. I get that part. But overall, we are our worst critic, and we are so far more judgmental on ourselves. We would never talk to a friend the way we talk to ourselves. We would beat their ass.
Absolutely.
We would. I'm like, don't do as I say, not as I do. So yeah, I absolutely feel that. So, what do you hope people walk away with from hearing your music?
Number one, as much as it's all about mental health, I just want people to have a good time. I want people to feel like good. Like I don't ever want anybody to be like, oh my God, like that kind of thing. Like I think that when you talk about some serious shit, a lot of times everybody just puts you into that box. I write pop punk happy songs. They just might be about serious stuff from time to time. So if anything, I just want people to know that other people feel the way that they feel, that music can help heal or at least help you escape whatever is going on in your head for 3 minutes and 30 seconds or however long your songs want to be. And that there's communities and people out there, just like you said, that are probably struggling with this as well. And that it's okay for to talk about mental health and not have it feel so fucking taboo. Like, again, I don't understand. Like, everybody's fucking miserable. They are. Like, I don't know that many, unless you're like a millionaire and like just living off of a yacht and just like, I don't know. Like, it's a very difficult time to really try to stay positive all the time and be this beacon of sunshine. So that's what the music's about. I just want people to know, like, hey, you can escape for 3 minutes in a fun song. And there's other things to kind of focus on, and you're not alone. Sunshine.
Yeah, I think that you're not alone, and I think that your music's really upbeat. I mean, I get the stories and things like that, but I mean, If you add like a little emo into the pop and punk, I mean, emo's never really like there's the sunshine.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
Have you ever listened to Morrissey or the Smiths? I think my stuff is like rainbows and sunshine compared.
So that's why I'm like, I don't know. Like, I think it's really upbeat and I think it can be empowering and all those different things. So I appreciate the authenticity in it. It's really wonderful. So, what do you have coming up?
I've got two new songs. They're fun as fuck. Like, I'm so stoked on them. Like, they're gonna be they're a little bit heavier, but it's still like pop punk, for sure. I've always been intrigued with like trying to mix like the past with the present. So there's some really fun stuff in it. I put like turntables and scratches in it, so it's kind of reminiscent of like Limp Bizkit, believe it or not, but it's not Limp Bizkit, trust me. So there's some fun shit in that. So I go into the studio to finish the vocals on those on August 22nd in LA. And then in the fall, I'm doing a West Coast tour. So I'll be starting in SoCal and I believe going up to Oregon, Portland, and like Washington, and then like back down. And then there's also talks about possibly doing a Midwest tour, which would be really sick. Like, I'll be doing like Texas and Ohio. I've got a lot of friends that are like scattered across the country just from my past years of touring. So I'm really hoping that those go through so that way I can visit them. But two new songs, some new merch, tour, and hopefully I get to like meet a lot of new awesome people and keep this party rolling.
Absolutely. So I love to end the podcast with this question of if someone came to you and they were struggling with their mental health, what is some words of wisdom that you would give them? I'm sure keep breathing is one of them, but what is something else?
I would say don't listen to me.
I hear you.
Seek professional help. Look, there's that old saying that even therapists need therapists, right? First things first, there's nothing wrong with how you're feeling. This is completely normal. It's become so commonplace. Let's just talk. Like, let's have a conversation. Let's go grab coffee. Something as simple as that, I honestly feel can like diffuse a conversation. Don't have to talk about what you're going through. Don't have to talk, whatever you feel most comfortable. Let's just be friends and have a conversation. And I think that just extending that kind of courtesy to somebody, even just again, momentarily, whether it's a song for 30 for 3 minutes or a conversation that lasts 30 minutes, that can alter somebody's mindset and mind frame. Very, very easily, so long as they know that they have somebody that they can kind of confide in. So I think that's what I would probably do for sure.
Perfect. I love that. I love that. Yeah, being seen is something important, I think, for anyone struggling. Even if you can't fix the problem, you can see them, and I think that solves half of it.
Totally. Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Like, I'm so stoked. Thank you for finding me. I love your channel. I've been
Thank
like l listening to the back episodes and they're
Oh,
awesome.
thank
So like,
you.
yeah. So like when I was offered to come on, I was very, very excited. So thank you so much for taking the time to get to know me a little
Yeah,
bit better.
of course.
You and I are going to be friends way beyond this, so we're good. So
The Authentic Life with KL and Break the Silence are two healing missions aligning to support mental health, all wellness and recovery, offering hope and amplifying the light.